Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
8-9 Arkansas. We're writing the game off two weeks in advance. I'm tired of
Stop
it, man.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Arkansas's in the top 20 in the net. So don't come with that 8-10 stuff if you're going to tell me how important the net is.
Okay. Okay. All right. Never mind. I had something prepared, but I'm not going to do it now. Go ahead, Dan.
Are they not in the top 20 in the net?
Go ahead, Dan. No, apparently you did all this research. Go ahead.
I did.
I'll wait. Go ahead.
I did.
And James Strebel.
Go ahead, Dan. Give us all your research. I'm waiting, man. I'll come back in at 10:10, okay?
Oh, please, Louie. Please tell us what you were going to say. Go ahead, Louis.
I'm not talking, Dan. I'm done. I'm done for 7 minutes. Give us all your research. Give us your letter grades. Do all the stuff you do. Read through the box score. Tell us all the stuff you usually do. Go ahead.
Come on, please, Louie. Please, Louie.
It's not going to work. Just talk, Dan. I am feet from the mic.
Oh, no. No. Okay, well, I'll give my take on the game. I thought the most impressive thing, first, my letter grade is an A, because this team is in the top 20 in the net.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Get to the Blitz here in a second. Blitz presented today by The Fitness Market. You can find them online, thefitnessmarket.com. Dina was out there today. Great selection, best brands, best prices. Get those e-bikes, especially with the weather getting nice. 882-2694, the two locations, Watterson Trail and Plantside Drive and on Westport Road, right across from Springhurst. You can check them out on their Facebook page as well. They'll work with your budget. Financing is available. Get that home gym popping. Or, if you're a business putting in a gym, the Fitness Market is perfect for you. So we appreciate them being part of the program.
Yeah, there you go. Fitness Market, get some.
There you go.
Yeah, get an e-bike. They had a lot of those.
Your
on
Fitness
sale.
Market stuff. Did you ever take them? No, there they are.
Oh, no, I did.
There they are.
All right, I will today.
please. No, you won't.
I got to remember.
No, you won't.
I got to remember.
No, you won't. Don't lie. Don't lie, Strebel. All right, so we're gonna get to the Blitz here in a second. That's why we're vamping. Reminder, coming up in 2 hours, 6 o'clock, we will have NCAA tournament coverage. 93.9 will start at 7 o'clock after Jody does his thing.
Absolutely.
Little Cardinal Insider on a Thursday.
Got to hear about what Walls is getting ready to do.
The cards.
Dan McDonald.
I think Ron English met with the media.
Oh, wow.
Ron English, little defensive coordinator. Ron English.
That's right.
We talk Ron English.
That's fine. Jody Dimley, he's happy to do it. He was next to Brom.
Yes, he was. Him and McCammon, they're dominating.
His right-hand man.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. The hand of the king.
He is the hand of the king.
Get a pin? Didn't they get a pin?
Yeah, get a little pin. It's got a fist on it. It's gripping like a sword or something.
It's like a knife. It was really popular when I got married, so I gave it to my twin brother for my best man kind of thing.
Oh,
it's really,
there you go.
Really, really kind of lame looking back on it. But, it is what it is.
Yeah. You know what?
I have one of those pins that someone gave me, too.
Does it hold up? That's a great question. Does that hold up? I mean, sentimental.
Sure, it's sentimental.
Yeah, it's sentimental.
That's one of the
why can't I say that word? Let's get tired.
That's one of the things that's in my little magic box.
Is it?
My
okay.
little hand of the king okay. pin. Yeah.
I don't think I believe you on that.
I promise.
I don't know
really
why. I just don't know. Have any idea why?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to all three locals. Let's go. Let's hit the music. It's the Blitz here on this Thursday. Ty Spaulding following the cards. CardinalSports.com. Ty, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
What's going on, guys? Doing well. How are you all?
Man, we are fantastic. We are fantastic. How have you the last couple days consumed all of the Rick Pitino stuff?
Well, I'm still very much a Pitino fan. I mean, he brought in a lot of good memories here at Louisville, and you know, he's definitely one of the greatest to ever do it. But when he starts offering the best of the best and kids that Louisville's in on, you take a step back and you're like, maybe Rick Pitino, with a billionaire alumnus at his disposal, is going to be going to turn into an enemy rather quickly. So for me, it's kind of a rock between a hard place. It's like, I love Rick. I loved what he did here. He brought me a lot of good, happy times. But if he's offering kids that Louisville has a good shot at and making them second think where they're going and things like that, I mean, I don't know if I can get behind that. So it's definitely a sticky situation for sure.
Carter Bryant is the kid, correct? Carter Bryant's the one that Ricky P's got his eyes on.
Well, it's not just Carter Bryant. I mean, the offers that Rick and the St. John's staff have sent out early on, they've been to the cream of the crop. The 2025 kid that Kentucky really likes. I mean, they're offering top five kids in each of the classes, 24 and 25. So I think Rick knows now that Rick knew how to play the game, or maybe he didn't know how to play the game when money wasn't allowed. But I think he's going to go out
using I think he'll
every
be fine.
Resource he has to make sure that he has one final run in him before he hangs it up. So I think the cash flow that wasn't there or maybe was there at Louisville is definitely going to be at his disposal at St. John's.
What do you think the split is on people that like Rick Pitino? And there's different levels of that. Like, you like Rick Pitino, but your level is, like, different than, like, Rummage's, probably. Okay, or someone like that. Or the group tie that doesn't like Rick Pitino, that is, you know, hey, we've suffered around here for 5-6 years. Bleep him and all of his five stars that he wants at St. John's.
I would say, you know, it honestly reminds me of the group that really loved Jurich and wanted him back. It almost feels like those same people are the biggest Rick Pitino ambassadors still. And maybe that's because Pitino's tied to Jurich at some level. I would say it's probably 70-30, you know, Rick got screwed. He should still be our coach. Seeing him have success other places other than Louisville is sickening. I would say probably 70% that group and 30% of people who are like, you know, part of the reason why we're in the place we're in is because of Rick. So, you know, while he did some good things, you know, it's time to move on. So I'd probably say 70-30 there.
What is your Ty Spalding with us here on ESPN 680 105.7? We'll get to Cam Drummond, Lexington Herald leader here in a second. L. Ellis, Jalen Withers, Roosevelt Wheeler, I think those are the three that have put their name either in the portal or L. Ellis. He's going to explore all options, including the professional route. I guess your opinion on those guys.
Yeah, I think Jalen Withers, let's start with him. I think he, as we've seen, the list of schools that have reached out to him, I think he's going to be on a Power 5 team next year. And I think if you can get a confident Jalen Withers, I think he could definitely earn some valuable minutes on a Power 5 team, and I fully expect for that to be the case. As far as L. Ellis goes, you know, I think if he had to do it over, he probably wouldn't have went on the record in that press conference saying, you know, if he
Agreed.
Does play college basketball next year, it'll be at U of L. I think if he had a do-over, he'd probably go back and change those words. Just because I think there's some strong buzz, what I've been hearing, that he goes back to the state of North Carolina and plays for a team in the state there, closer to his hometown. So while I don't think there'll be many hard feelings, I think many people would understand if he does decide to move on. I do think that that clip of him saying, you know, he can't see himself playing at any other school besides Louisville, I do think that's a tough look for him if he does decide to
stay. I was surprised he did that. I was surprised he did that. He didn't need to do that. It's a valid question. I don't know if there's a right answer, but he did say something that was definitive. And I mean, come on. I mean, he should explore all of his options, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, he's going up for bidding basically in the offseason. Louisville's rebuilding and everything else. He's an interesting player in the pantheon of Louisville history. I guess what would be your reaction then if Louisville is playing him a time or two next year in the ACC? It could happen.
I think for me, it all depends on who Louisville gets at the guard spot. If they get someone that's not even close to the level that L. Ellis was playing on this past year, you have to scratch your head and wonder why they didn't fight a little bit harder to keep Ellis. If they replace him with a capable guard that's producing at a high level, then I don't think twice about it. So I think for me, it's a wait and see before I can really say whether or not it's a big hit to the staff or not. I think it's just a wait and see on who they get to replace him.
All right, so a couple spring practices, a couple times to see Plummer sling the pill, a couple times for monster tight ends, a couple press conferences. Any takeaways of the first few days of seeing Jeff Brohm finally at U of L and leading a team?
I mean, it's a good sight to see. It's finally here. I think for me, I came on with you all a couple months back when Brohm had a presser. He was asked about the quarterback spot. He refused to name a starter, basically saying they're going to evaluate all options. I said there's not going to be a competition. This is Jack Plummer's job. There's nobody that's really going to challenge him. I think that's firmly the case as we get into spring practice. I think he's head and shoulders above the rest of the group, not only from a talent perspective, but also from a leadership perspective. You heard Brian Hudson, the center, talk. He said the same, that Plummer's really helped a lot of the other guys come along and learn the offense. So I think that's a big takeaway for me, is just reaffirming that he's going to be the guy and there's not going to be a competition there. As far as who wins the backup job, it's anybody's guess as to who that will be. I really don't have a good read on that. Pierce Clarkson obviously is not practicing. Mm-hmm. I do feel good about the receivers they brought in. I feel good about the tight ends they have. I like Jamari Johnson, the way he's looked. I think the offensive line, definitely, I think they need to add another guy or two on the offensive line when the portal opens back up after spring ball. I think on defense, I think the inside linebacker spot, when you lose Monty Montgomery to Ole Miss, Dorian Jones to Cincinnati, I think that's going to be a spot where they really need some experience there. But, you know, it's early. They have another window to add players from the portal. So, obviously, the roster they have now is not set in stone. But I'm liking what I'm hearing and liking what I'm seeing so far.
Ty Spaulding, CardinalsSports.com. Ty, appreciate the time, brother. Take care.
All right, guys. See you.
Kentucky.
Cam Drummond, Lexington Herald leader. Oh, Cam, congratulations on picking Kansas State. You got him, Cam.
You showed us, Cam.
You showed Scribble, Cam.
I'm glad I finally got to actually show why I'm an expert in covering Kentucky college basketball. Although I wouldn't have minded a second free trip to New York City this year on the Herald leader's budget, but it's probably for the best that didn't happen.
No, it's not for the best.
It's not, Cam.
No, it's not.
We're struggling around here.
Don't
hurt.
Don't act like you're going to get that BS by us. A free trip to New York City is a good thing you didn't get to do it.
Yeah.
So you can hang out in Lexington. As beautiful as those horse farms are, okay? The reaction for the last few days, the loss itself, we'll get to the future, but, you know, just since Sunday night to today, what did you make of the loss and then kind of the reaction here this week?
Yeah, I mean, well, it wasn't a super surprising loss, just from the sense that it kind of, you know, followed the script of so many Kentucky losses this season, where, and, you know, obviously one of the big reasons I kind of cited for picking Providence to beat Kentucky in that first round game is just the inconsistency standpoint of not knowing which Kentucky players were going to show up on a given game. And, you know, the good news is that Oscar Tshiebwe, you know, at least what will likely be his final Kentucky basketball game, got to go out in a way that I think most people should remember him at Kentucky in terms of being a dominant big man, having a good scoring day, having another absurd rebounding day. But of course, then you don't have Jacob Toppin showing up with scoring production. You certainly don't have Antonio Reeves showing up with scoring production. And then, you know, when two of those three or four big key players, if you want to toss in Case and Wallace as well, if two of them aren't showing up, it's going to be awfully hard for Kentucky this past season to win a basketball game. And that kind of showed itself again. You know, not great late game execution from Kentucky, you know, going cold at the wrong moment, you know, allowing a lot of Kansas State three-pointers, especially at some inopportune times. And yeah, the reaction has kind of been, it's been funny just because it hasn't been complete outrage, just because I think there's been so many people so disconnected with the team over the course of the season, and almost
obvious
a piece of attrition. We're like, yeah, people
like you,
have
it's
gone.
Like you said, it was an obvious loss. Them losing in the round of 32 is not surprising at all. Not at all.
Yeah, like people just kind of been slowly going off, you know, the bandwagon for the season, whether it's after that Alabama game in January, whether it's after losing to Georgia, whether it's after losing to Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament. So I felt like there was definitely a disconnect in terms of how, you know, intensely hopeful people were for a deep NCAA tournament run. But even, you know, one last time, people, though, Kentucky probably got people's hopes up just a bit, with kind of a workmanlike win over Providence. And then everything came crashing back down to earth there over the weekend.
Cam Drummond with us. Yeah, it's a mess. I'm with you. There's anger, like Strebel's angry, but this is not like I think he was angrier. I think you were angry like during the season a few times when it was coming to the realization that, yeah, maybe you could make a run and maybe this was a good draw. But in the end, where I was most right, Cam, was that there is no good draw for Kentucky because they can lose to anybody. And they did. They absolutely fulfilled that. Is the number one storyline, in your opinion, Chris Livingston?
Yeah, I think it has to be, especially with the way that it wasn't even, you know, just like a sudden two or three game burst there at the end of the season. This was a steady build over the last 2-3 months of the season, where there was definitely talk about Chris Livingston playing his way into an NBA draft pick and being a high NBA draft pick at that point. And I think also when you look at the players Kentucky will have coming in next season, of course, with the 23 recruiting class and the spots that they fill on the court, Chris Livingston is someone that would fit into that team and would be a necessary presence on that team as well. I mean, you still have to account for a guy like Justin Edwards maybe putting a bit more muscle on his frame to be able to be a high-level rebounder from that small forward three spot at the college level. That's something Chris Livingston really filled out and really became over the season. So that's definitely going to be a needed presence on next year's team. And if Chris Livingston decides to not come back and, you know, go to the NBA draft or transfer or, you know, whatever decision he makes, all of a sudden that's an immediate void and something that's going to be a talking point from day one of next season. It's who's going to fit into that role and be that presence for Kentucky, you know, kind of at that three spot, who can go in, rebound, have a bit of offensive pop, you know, kind of do some of those dirty, gritty plays. And I will mention, just based on that, I haven't had as much fun as I've had in a while. I think it was on Sunday night, kicking back with a couple beers and listening to the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife game show.
Yeah!
And listening to people battle people from all nations who are coming across to accost him. It was delightful radio, I have to say.
Thank you, Cam.
No. What did you do? No.
Big boy.
No, big boy. Yeah, you got a big boy like 9 minutes in. You knew that was a Kentucky loss. Listen, I am skeptical. I understand why people are bringing up the next year is the year. If he can't do it this year, you know, that year with his guys. So do you believe in the his guys narrative? I am skeptical myself of next year they need to do fill in the blank, and some people are saying Sweet 16, like that's going to be good enough with DJ Wagner, whatever. I guess, what do you make of the early talk about 2020? What would that be, 2023-24?
Well, I think just right off the bat, kind of setting any kind of hard expectations for a Kentucky basketball team under John Calipari has kind of proven to be a bit of a folly, you know, over the last 2-3 years, you know, whether it's, I sent off kind of a joke tweet last night after Lenardi did his bracketology during like the CBI title game and already had Kentucky as a one seed in the Midwest region, right? And KenPom number one to start this season, obviously nobody thought the 2020 season was going to be as bad as it ended up being, right? So the idea of just, I guess, having that kind of baked-in expectation, I think, would probably be the thief of joy for a lot of Kentucky fans. That being said, he needs to do something next year with the recruiting class. He needs to do something next year with this caliber of talent coming in. But I don't necessarily want to, like, attribute, like, a benchmark to it. Like, obviously, Kentucky should be winning multiple NCAA tournament games next season. I don't know if Elite Eight or Final Four or national title game is going to be what gets people bought back in or gets, you know, some of the callers into the post-game show completely bought back in on John Calipari. I mean, that being said, they need to do something, right? There needs to be market improvement, not only from, you know, an on-court wins and losses aspect, but also I think a lot of people want to see John Calipari maybe adapt his coaching style a bit more, you know, maybe a bit more malleable. I know the blowback is pretty severe when he did his post-game radio or post-season radio show, I should say, on Monday night and mentioned
he sounded
about
terrible.
Seven-footers at the same time. Yeah, like just those yeah. kind of old, antiquated ideas that are going to get under the skin of Kentucky fans. And not that he shouldn't say it for that reason. He should say it because because it doesn't work and it's not a viable basketball strategy. I mean, just look what's happened with so many teams in the NCAA tournament this season with star big men, you know, Indiana out, Purdue out, North Carolina not even making the tournament, right? So I think a lot of people are just wanting to see change from that aspect. Now, again, not just from a win-loss standpoint, but just simply from playing a more modern style of basketball that would likely lend itself to more postseason success. And obviously the spotlight will be on the fact that it's kind of a back to normal standpoint for Calipari and a Kentucky team with five-star freshmen. You know, we'll see what the playing rotation looks like for them. We'll see how much each of those players factors in. But, I mean, the spotlight's going to be hot and probably hotter than it's ever been, not to mention with the way the contract works out and next year being a convenient time to maybe part ways if things don't go super well.
I ask this, and I'm hesitant to do so. If you don't have any, that's fine. It's just I figure I'll ask. It's been a couple football practices, you know, spring practices. What do we need to know about Mark Stoops' 7-5 team?
I have absolutely no idea how to answer that question, and I say
Great.
That with a big
smile. I'm sorry I ask it.
That means John Hale's waking up at 7 a.m. for these spring practices while I'm snugly in bed. So that's my read on the situation.
No, that's fine. Because I've done nothing. I haven't. No offense to the Lexington Herald leader. I've consumed zero information about Kentucky's practices. None. Louisville looks great. They're going to win the title. So
Jack Plummer's going to be a Heisman.
Just so you know.
Winner, just so you know.
I was going to say, as soon as I graduated college and stopped covering Indiana football on like a day-to-day regular basis, I started to embrace the idea of not caring about football during any of the spring or summer months, and even like extended to the NFL. Like, I'm a pretty big Cowboys fan, but I read like two articles on the team releasing Ezekiel Elliott, and then I moved on with my life because it is March 23rd, and I don't have to be exposed to that for at least a couple more months.
Fair enough.
There you go, yeah.
Cam Drummond, Lexington Herald leader. Of course, you're a Cowboys fan. Cam, take care, buddy.
Well, dude, I got Jack Grossman staying with me tonight as well, so I'll be sure to pass along some well wishes.
He's
heading up for the Sweet 16. I think he's copped some tickets for the Yum Bucket, so he's going to stay by tonight and we'll watch the World Basketball.
They're $4.
There you go. Yeah, they're not very expensive. Yeah,
they're $8. I appreciate it, brother. Take care.
Good stuff, y'all. Go.
Indiana.
All right, following the Hoosiers from the Indianapolis Stars, Zach Osterman wraps things up here on the Blitz on this Thursday. Zach, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
How are we doing?
We're doing well. I would say we're doing fine, but we're miserable. You know, Louisville was bad, Kentucky's done, and now Indiana done as well. I guess I'll ask it this way. This has been the conversation. Fill in the blank. Indiana's season was what?
I think good while always maybe promising more than it delivered, if that makes sense. I think we all felt there was a team inside Indiana that was, you know, always kind of there, always sort of floating around as a possibility, a ceiling that it's almost like Indiana kind of got within sight of but never really realized. And some of that was probably down to Xavier Johnson's injury. Some of it was just the way the team developed and coalesced as the season went on. Some of it was probably personnel shortcomings in some key matchups, including the one that obviously ended their season. But ultimately, I think
you know, listen, you win 23 games, you finish third in the Big Ten, you get to the second round of the NCAA tournament. That's all stuff Indiana hasn't done in 7 years, and I don't think Indiana should. I don't think Indiana fans should thumb their nose at it. You know, they spent 6 years out of the NCAA tournament to a season like this is a building block. But I think this team expected more of itself. Like, I know it did, and I think there were times where it seemed like it was flirting with getting there, and it just never quite found its way.
And they lost, and I don't know, it kind of felt like some of these extra players were going to, someone was going to have to step up, right, besides TJD, Hood Schifino. I mean, I know Race Thompson had 11 points, but some guys were going to have to step up, and it didn't really happen there in the starting lineup, and then you look at the bench, 0 points, right, in 33 minutes. Bates played 20 minutes and did not score. Ultimately, that was one of the main talking points all year, and I guess against Miami, that was one of the main issues they had, correct?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think this team just kind of got to a place where it was better offensively than it was a season ago, but it still wasn't good enough to, you know, just sort of win games that started turning into sort of scoring free-for-alls. And, you know, Miami was reminiscent of Iowa, which, you know, hit 90 twice on Indiana, was reminiscent of Penn State, which, of course, beat Indiana twice. Even if you remove the Kansases and the Arizonas, teams that maybe weren't as talented in some spots as Indiana, but could spread Indiana out, had smaller, quicker personnel that could really stretch Indiana defensively, could take advantage of you know, switches to get mismatches on bigger players, bigger, slower players, and then could just really attack downhill. You know, I've had people who have sort of said, you know, it felt like Miami was playing harder in that game, and I'm sure there were times where they probably were, but I don't think Miami was playing harder so much as Miami was playing faster. And when you saw Miami getting into a lot of offensive rebounds, what you saw was a defense that was doing kind of what it's designed to do, which is force jump shots, but that means longer rebounds. And where Indiana got to as a team this season was because it lost some key personnel, primarily Xavier Johnson, in its perimeter defense, it had to really rely on Trace Jackson Davis to stay home at the rim and block shots and be basically a deterring presence when teams beat Indiana off the dribble and got into the lane. But then that means your best rebounder is not in rebounding position so much as he's in shot blocking position. And so it was the sort of game that just kind of exposed ultimately the flaws that Indiana just kind of didn't have the time, the help, or the personnel to ever quite cover this season. And that's why, again, I would say it was a good season, but I think it was one that promised a little bit better than it ultimately delivered.
Yeah, and it was sad, you know, just to peter out, lose by 16, not, you know, make the game in the second half, down by 5 at halftime, and just whatever, you know, it's our triangle of basketball here, Zach. Yeah. That's basically what it has been. Okay, so consuming the Indy Star and other outlets, is there a sense of optimism here that Mike Woodson is going to attack this offseason and really replenish this roster? I would imagine, I mean, you know, the team next year is going to look a lot different than this season.
Yeah, I mean, it has to, and not just in terms of personnel, but really in terms of style. I mean, you know, Mike Woodson has said kind of many times, and he said it, you know, I think we all have all these numbers, and he's going to have one of the great careers in Indiana history, and I think Mike Woodson rightly, you know, kind of routinely pays tribute to Jackson Davis for his buy-in, for being kind of a bit of a Pied Piper in getting others on board with Woodson's sort of first couple of years and you know, kind of getting Indiana back to a place where, I guess, a better foundation, essentially. But Woodson has also said a number of times, he's not, as a head coach, he's never really played that way, you know, in terms of having a back-to-the-basket center and an offense that flowed through the post. And if you think about his time in the NBA, and I reference his time with the Hawks, not just because I grew up in Atlanta, but also because that was a team he built from scratch. That team never really played with a true center. It had players that could be shot blockers or shot changers, but that was much more of a length, athleticism, sort of guard-forward-driven team. Joe Johnson, Josh Smith, Josh Childress, Al Horford, Marvin Williams, Mario West, you know, Mo Evans, guys like that. And so I'm not saying that Woodson... I think Woodson has a deep appreciation for Trace Jackson Davis, and I think the two of them did a lot of good things together. I also think that kind of given a bit of a blank canvas here, a lot of players departing. Obviously, Indiana's got to figure out Xavier Johnson's situation around his waiver appeal. But I think what you're going to see is maybe a team that resembles that a little bit more, that's more about length, athleticism, guys that can win individual matchups, beat players off the bounce, and then, of course, make shots. That's make threes. That's always going to be part of it. And it's going to be difficult because there's a lot to add. But on the other hand, you have a lot of room to really sort of reconstruct not just the way your team is built, but the way it plays and the personnel that it plays through. And I think that with, you know, by my best estimation, these numbers aren't firm, but, you know, by my best estimation, you've got seven figures worth of NIL resources that yep. can kind of be put into this roster starting this summer, starting in terms of bringing guys in. I think, you know, it's going to be an intriguing spring and summer for Indiana in the portal.
Zach Osterman hanging out with us following the Hoosiers Indianapolis Stars. Zach, appreciate the time, sir. Take care. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, there we go. A little blitz on a Thursday. You good with that?
Wasn't as sad as I thought it was going to be.
No.
It was a little, you know.
You decided not to make it sad.
Yeah, it was okay. You know, I like the guys trying to fill us in on what they're doing here the next couple of days. And
do you?
Yeah. Cam and Jack, a little sleepover tonight. Got to sleepover with those
sleepover
guys.
For the guys tonight.
Some video games, some Hot Pockets, you know, maybe some pizza rolls.
You like that?
I do like that. Jack's going to bring
so
some.
So Jack's staying in Lexington and not Louisville. That means Jack is Jack in Louisville and not going to go see his family?
That's a great question. I don't know.
It's the only thing I thought of.
I guess he's driving halfway, staying with Cam, maybe getting up tomorrow, coming to Louisville, and then he says hello to Ken and Marcy.
I don't know what he does. Ken Grossman's been all over Twitter lately.
I know. I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Empty nest. He's got nothing to do.
Tweeting at assembly call, tweeting at something called Rumors and Rants.
Yes.
IU Barstool Purdue. I mean, the guy's going after everybody.
Rick Pitino, I think
Rick Pitino.
He quote tweeted Rick Pitino, I think. Yeah, Jack. I mean, look, again, Ken Grossman, maybe he's reemerging. He's like trying to fit. Now that Jack's gone, he's getting deep into Twitter, and he's going to be like a techie guy. He's going to be social media magnet. That's going to be Ken Grossman.
Jack Swarbrick said something today.
Oh, did he?
And I don't want to talk about his pompous Notre Dame comments.
Oh, okay.
I want to ask you a question, because everyone talks about that. I want to ask you a question.
All right.
About that.
Okay,
so we'll
I'm
do
with
that. 437-9680, Bozich at 5 o'clock. We got you to 6 o'clock here on this Thursday on ESPN 680.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
This guy checks in, and this is where I was going, but I was flustered. And I thought I saw this. Are you sure that was Keldon Johnson's dad?
That's what the tweet said. It said it was Keldon Johnson's dad still following the program. He took a picture with Mike Pratt. I swear to you, that is what the tweet said. I promise.
And James Strebel.
Yep, and I have another buddy texting me. You got that from Nick Roush and TJ Walker. I know who you got it from. I know exactly. That's why I gave you time to clear your conscience.
But I didn't know that's what it, I promise
Strebel's
you.
He's become a boozer. He's a liar.
I know.
He's a womanizer ever since he started this. Because that's Chuck Hayes.
That's... See, I didn't know. I just saw it and it said it was in passing because I don't have time to analyze Twitter.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You know, playing that rejoin made me think of something.
What's that?
We got to get a parent... Who will blast one of the local coaches? Usually Calipari gets one of the pairs.
Keldon Johnson's dad
didn't mind, you know. Of course, Keldon Johnson's went to the NBA. He's been fantastic.
He's been really good for
the
Spurs.
He's on my fantasy team. How about that?
Oh, has there been anybody since Keldon Johnson's dad that's done that?
I don't know. We need somebody.
I don't think there has been.
Kentucky, Louisville, I need TJD's parents. Woody, I need something.
Where are the Louisville parents? That like he's been ripping them. Why have they not come out and ripped him?
It's a great question.
It's the greatest question.
Yeah. You're exactly right, Justin.
Where did we come from?
Yeah, exactly. How did we get here?
Like, is there a higher power? Like life's questions, okay? Yeah. Where do we go when we die?
Yes.
Like right below that is, where are the parents?
For UofL
It's such
players.
A great question.
I mean, he's told, like, guys, like, to go, like the only UofL parent you hear from is Master P. He's it. He's the one. You don't hear from anybody else. He did one show with Mike Rutherford. That was it. He did one.
Are they doing a second one?
I don't know.
Is that over? Like, is it
one and done?
Yeah.
Is it one and done?
Maybe Hersey got his papers. Maybe he got his walking papers. Even though he's a walk on, right?
Yes. No, he was on scholarship this year.
Yeah, are
you kidding
flexed.
Me?
That can be flexed.
No, I'm not kidding you. He was on scholarship.
He won four games, dude.
I hate this team. I hate everything about this.
What?
This
you
program
not knowing Hersey
point.
Miller was on scholarship was like Andy not knowing.
This is why I'm okay with Rick Pitino getting Carter Bryant. That's fine. Take whoever you want, Rick. I don't care. They don't know what they're doing.
Get that vitamin water money now. He's like, I don't have to have Kenny Johnson do anything. I can do it all myself.
Quickly, by the way, 4 o'clock hour presented by RGB Home Theaters. Red, green, blue, rgbhometheaters.com. As always, get that free estimate. Check out their most recent work. Personalized, top-notch service. If you want to bring that theater experience to your home today, your place of business today, they can do that and so much more. If you just need a TV hung, hiding the wires, of course, they can do all of that. If you have a new build, a rebuild, a remodel, the weather eventually here, I mean, it's okay today, but eventually the weather is going to be nicer. It's going to be hot out. Get that outdoor setup and anything in between. They'll price match the big box stores. They got you covered today. RGB. Red, green, blue, rgbhometheaters.com. We appreciate them being part of the show. Okay, so I wanted to ask you guys something.
Okay.
I got to ask you this. You guys will love this. Well, so Jack Swarbrick today spoke to
the Notre Dame athletic
director. He's worried about, there's several ways I can go here.
All right. He looks like Notre Dame's athletic director. I mean, this is a guy you would imagine would be that title holder. Yes.
Yes. I mean, so he was talking about NIL laws, sure. And he is urging Congress to help with NIL laws. He very much is about the old model in making sure that the players are not employees.
Right.
Amateurs. Talking about education, quote, college athletics is in a crisis. Quote, if we can't start to get ourselves to where we can make rational decisions like those and enforce them, the future will be more than one athletic association. I can tell you that. I mean, obviously he has worry of the Big Ten and the SEC, doing what they're doing. And so, listen, I think there's a nice amount of people that actually back this. That back this kind of talk, if you want to say it's rhetoric, makes it sound negative and everything else. He also spoke with 40 Ross Dellinger. And my man Dan Wetzel, you can go find that. I mean, there's so many quotes here. SI and the New York Times have a bunch of information on it. Yeah. And then basically, you know, we need to remember the old model. These are college kids. This education matters. NIL, we need help from Congress. NIL is paying players. So, I mean, everyone knows. I mean, he's basically saying what we all know. This used to be the stuff you heard about. Now it's very much the norm. And, of course, the immediate reaction from, I think, probably the majority of people listening, especially younger people. I am saying that even about us here on the show, would be to shut up. It's hurting Notre Dame. You haven't been able to compete, even though you should have more NIL than anybody.
Yes.
No one should have more NIL than Notre Dame.
That's, the alumni, the TV deals, everything that they have.
So, I mean, that's the reason you're independent, to make all the money and not be tied to anything. So, Like that is my, that is the initial talk. That is what the majority of people are going to talk about.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with him, you disagree with him on sports radio, it's going to be like 99% are going to disagree with him. Well, you're not a power anymore. You want to go back to when you were dominant and Rudy and everything else.
Right.
Understandable. My question is, what if the NCAA, Congress gets involved, who knows?
Good. Well, great.
In Strieble, they really limit NIL.
We go backwards. Yeah, no, it's a...
What if we, because I believe, the horse is out of the barn.
The genie's okay? out of the bottle.
The genie's out of the bottle.
You can't put it back in. The genie in the bottle. Christina Aguilera.
You had to rub her the right way.
Right way. You got to rub her the right way. It's just some great wishes.
How many years were you in love with her?
Oh, man.
Couple?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was... Man, there was a time period that was like, you had Christina Aguilera, you had Britney Spears, you had Jennifer Love Hewitt, you had Shakira.
Welcome, Creighton fans, to ESPN Radio.
Wow.
You had Maya.
That was
my
Power 5 in the 90s. Power 5. They were.
Your non-sports stuff's been the only good thing today.
Sorry.
I don't remember anything that you have said sports-wise that I can even remember.
I haven't talked about sports today, to be fair. I'm not trying to do that. Yeah.
So, I mean, my thing is, what if we go backwards in NIL where we have it, but it's not like, you know.
Well.
It's not as, you know.
Well, I don't think, it's not as fun.
Kentucky and Louisville have done great.
Both schools have done great.
Louisville brags about it. They've done great. Kenny Payne's obviously got money. You know, all the football Flyville, which, by the way, Flyville's coming for some other t-shirt companies. That's another discussion.
I saw that Pierce Clarkson.
The Clarksons are coming for other t-shirt companies. That needs to be talked about.
Better watch out, state of Louisville.
I mean,
Clarkson's a competitor now.
Thank you, Captain.
Sorry.
Again, thank you for that.
Sorry.
But I don't know. Anyway,
what if we
take a huge step back where they gave all of these goodies and now there's going to be some goodies, but it ain't gonna be what Kentucky basketball and Louisville football have been able to do the last couple years.
Beats by Dre, you know, presented by Chris Livingston or whatever. I don't know, Andy.
What a waste of money from them.
It's not a waste of money. He's going to be. Yeah.
8 points, 7 points a game.
You're excited about him.
I mean, you can't say both things. Yes, I can.
Why?
If I could pick, I could. I mean, you would pick 200 players before you get to Chris Livingston.
No, but it's the brand of Kentucky basketball, too, even though you could say whatever
you
want.
I know.
It's Kentucky basketball.
No one knows. Jacob Toppin was on the ATT commercial. Nobody knew who he was.
Yes, they did. People knew who he was.
In the entire country, nobody knew who he was.
I disagree 100% with
Justin
you.
Justin, help me out here. I got to have somebody on my side. Nobody knew
who
he was.
They wouldn't have put him on a national commercial.
No, this guy in Ohio has no idea.
He didn't like Jacob Toppin.
Jacob Toppin exceeded what I thought he would do.
He really did, yes.
Jacob Toppin exceeded, in the end, Jacob Toppin was, to me, a developmental win for John Calipari.
He was a win.
He choked his ass off in the final game.
No doubt about it.
The only reason he got a chance is because of his brother, though. The name.
No one knows.
It had nothing to do with that. That's not true.
Nobody.
People know who that is.
Nah, the guy. Come on.
They wouldn't have put him in a commercial if people didn't know who he was.
Yeah, I wasn't happy about that at all.
I know who wasn't in the commercial. There weren't any Duke players. There weren't any North Carolina players. There weren't any Kansas players.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's a Kentucky player.
Stoops needs to weep. That's the power of Kentucky basketball.
It is, absolutely.
Because a player who nobody knows is in that commercial instead of 50 other guys that you would pick before
all
him.
All right, well, I'll disagree with you.
I mean, the country knows Filipowski more than him. The country knows other Kentucky players.
No, that's
Oscar Sheway more than him.
I think people know who
they
he
know
is.
They know Cason Wallace is a lottery pick.
Yeah, I think people know who he is. I mean, is he the most known player? But no, I think nationally people knew who Jacob Toppin
was. Dieter didn't even know who it was. Come on, Dieter, you're betting. You're watching those Kentucky games. You got Buzz Baker on speed dial.
He just found out.
I don't believe that.
I don't either. He has Lily bias. That's what that is. He doesn't like Lily.
Dieter is wrong about that. That Lily take is the worst take.
It's such a bad take.
Anti-Lily bias for Dieter.
It's up there with Strieble's. IG models have their uncles take the photos of them and manage their careers.
How is that bad?
I mean,
that's a bad one.
Cerebral.
No, that one. No, my take was that bad. That's what I'm saying. I don't think Teeter's take is as bad as that one. But, I mean, it would take fun out of college sports. I think college sports has become more fun. Now, you could argue that it has hurt Kentucky in certain ways. I mean, there's articles out there and people talking about the reason why you don't have your blue bloods in the Sweet 16 is because now they have NIL money to spread around. All the good players don't just go to those schools. They go other places. But, no, you take NIL away. It's fun to watch these schools.
No, but make him what they kind of wanted it to be was, oh, you're going to be able to get some money, but not this money.
Yeah, where they just you sign an autograph, you get money from your autographs. No, I don't like that at all. I think – I don't know. College players can't, like, strike or anything anyway. I wonder how they would react to that. I wonder how they would react to – hey, you know, you're making six figures. Jacob Toppin, or not, he won't be back next year. Antonio Reeves, you're making six figures now. When you come back to Kentucky next year, it'll be more like four or five.
Texas says Drew Timmy should have been in the AT&T commercial.
No. Well, no one cares about Drew Timmy.
Texas says I wouldn't know Toppin if he walked up and shook my hand.
That's a Louisville fan.
Texas
that's
says Timmy's the face of AT&T.
He's not.
Oddly enough, Steven Adams is in the other one, an NBA player. Doesn't really make sense.
No, SGA.
Yeah, see, he was in that, too. He popped in and said, baby, be one and done.
Steven Adams wasn't in that.
No, he's in a different one.
Oh, a different one.
Yeah, the different AT&T commercial where they're all, like, sitting on his shoulders watching basketball.
Is this a regional commercial or a national commercial?
I believe it's national. Lily's in it, too.
Does it play in Wyoming? That's what I'm asking.
It plays everywhere, yeah. I mean, Lily's in it.
Does it play in L.A.?
Yeah.
Can Jim Rome has seen it, is he seeing Toppin?
I think he's seeing Toppin.
Jim Rome has no idea who that is. There's not three people in L.A. who know who that is.
Oh, there are more.
Mick Cronin doesn't know who that is.
Yes, he does. Yes, absolutely, Mick Cronin knows who
that
is.
He only knew his number.
He played against him. He knew who he was.
He only knew his number.
No, he knew Jacob Toppin.
He's like Bobby Bowden. He doesn't want to remember the names.
Yes.
Ah, three over there.
Number three, number seven.
The old coach is odd, number three. That's how you know you're screwed. Spurrier was like, yeah, number nine. Number nine busted us.
Or the punter.
Yeah. It's like, now you don't know what's going on.
Yes.
Number nine.
I only really knew what Jacob Toppin looked like because of the video of him like laughing at Louisville losing to whoever it was. Leon Rimes. That video of him reacting to that. That's the only reason like I really knew.
Oh yeah, he said he wanted to play Louisville even like before the season too. He's like, what game do you want to play? And it's like Louisville. At that point, we didn't know.
Right.
Obviously,
what was going on? Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know it
we
was
had
that
no idea.
Bad.
No, we weren't set up for the tragedy that would occur.
Texas says when New York and L.A. schools start dominating basketball, we'll see how we like NIL then. Well, here's what I would say. I mean, you look at Miami. Miami retained and added to a men's basketball team. They're in the Sweet 16. I mean, they got a shot to beat Houston.
Sure they do.
They have
absolutely.
An absolute shot to beat Houston.
Yep.
And they were in the Elite Eight last year, and they lost to the champion in Kansas.
Yeah.
So if you go Elite Eight, and you have paid, a nice amount of money, you are getting to the doorstep of the Final Four. You are 40 minutes from the Final Four, and then on top of it, I mean, the women went into Indiana, and they're in the Sweet 16.
Sure, yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, they got money. They got the Cavender twins, Okupasan.
And the men's side got Nigel Pack. I mean, no, they're paying good money. They're seeing success there in Miami. And the thing with the L.A. and the New York teams, I mean, what are they waiting on? I mean, they've had NIL a few seasons now. Why aren't they dominating now? I thought, the idea was, like, USC in football and UCLA in football and then St. John's in basketball, all this other stuff. Like, what are they waiting for?
Now, he did get in trouble because he had those twins, the girls on the women's team, had them over for dinner, which I guess is a no-no. I didn't know there was anything that was a no-no.
That was a no-no. What else is a no-no, Dan?
Oh, I bet Dan's got a lot.
I think he's got a lot of no-nos. That's a no-no.
Shoot me in a fanny.
Do you want to hear the manager sound of Scotty D? Do the impersonation.
Yes, I didn't see this. I saw it on Twitter, but I didn't listen to it.
All right. He's saying it's about the kids, like okay. Scotty D. All right.
It's about those kids. No, it is. No, it's about those kids.
That's pretty damn good.
It's about.
Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh.
It's about those kids.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I wonder what Scotty D thinks of that.
I think he likes it.
I bet he does like it. Absolutely. I bet he does like that. That is for those managers. Good job.
Quickly, do you want Pete Prisco on Will Levis? I'm clearing this out because we have Bozich, and then
sure.
There's a chance we don't want to get to Will Levis talk.
Yeah, we can do
that. Lindsey Goff sent us this sound, but not this
nice
sound. I should play. So, you know what? We'll do it later.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll do it later
on. So what did Pete Prisco ask Will Levis?
No, this is him talking about...
I'm talking about Will Levis.
No, Will Levis is getting the pity.
The pity?
The Kentucky sucks. So you,
we should
love you because Kentucky doesn't have players.
Right, they had an offensive line.
I'll let you just hear the end. Right. I'll let you just hear the end.
Put up these great numbers at Ohio State. He had a ton of weapons. Will Levis had nothing.
Yeah, well,
Levis had nothing.
I'm surprised.
Will Levis had nothing. Will Levis had nothing.
I mean, Dave Keenan, Barry, and Brown were pretty damn good.
Will Levis had nothing.
They are better than a lot of...
Pete Prisco's not bending the knee, Justin.
That's
to
fine.
To Dan Key.
Will Levis had nothing.
They had great freshman years. He has no idea. He doesn't watch Kentucky football. He's putting on for Will Levis. That's fine. Those were very good wide receivers for Kentucky, and they're true freshmen. They'll be better this year.
Pete Prisco turned me down 14 times in one day for an 8-minute interview.
Good. That's why I'm glad I'm bashing him then. He deserves it.
You Will Levis had people? Nothing.
You have nothing, Pete Prisco. Your name's Pete Prisco.
Will Levis had nothing.
Pete Prisco. No one cares about Pete Prisco. You have nothing, Pete. You're lucky you're getting played on this show. No one else is playing your ass.
Well, he's on national CBS.
But no one's watching him. You know what? More people know who Jacob Toppin is than they know who Pete Prisco is. How about that?
I disagree.
Ain't nobody knowing Pete Prisco. I can go home right now and I can ask my whole entire neighborhood, do you know Jacob Toppin or Pete Prisco? More people will know Jacob Toppin over Pete Prisco. I'll go into the Knobs. I'll ask everybody in the Knobs.
Who do you know more? You don't hang out in the Knobs anymore.
I still go there. I still have friends there. I still go
do
over.
Do you?
Oh, hell yeah,
after
I do.
Didn't you abandon the teams to go to the East End?
Well, I didn't abandon the teams. We moved, but I guarantee that I know I have friends. I have a friend that owns a metal company over there. I go to his house anytime and drink out of his kegerator. How about
metal
that?
Company.
Swim in his in-ground pool.
Okay.
Will Levis had nothing.
Yeah, Pete Prisco, you got nothing.
What an attack on Prisco.
Well, don't turn down the show 14
Will
times.
Levis had nothing.
Oh, that's the first time you've cared about Will Levis right there. In the draft. You haven't cared.
Yeah, no, pretty much.
You haven't cared.
Yeah.
You haven't cared at all.
Yeah, no, I really haven't. It's the fact that, you know, it's this idea that, look, he didn't have an offensive line. I grant that. He didn't have an offensive coordinator. I grant that, too. Those are two big major things. But he had weapons. He had wide receivers. He had a running back. He had some weapons out there. To act like he didn't is stupid.
Texas says, I saw the commercial in Phoenix this weekend. There you go.
Will Levis had nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's is an uninformed blowhard is what he is.
Well, actually,
that's what I am, too.
The beauty is on that take, the take is that P.J. Stroud had everything. And so how do you evaluate him versus Will Levis, who had nothing?
Yeah.
What if he said, oh, I'm sorry, he had Dan Key, and then he laughed?
That's fine. He can laugh all he wants.
Lemon would attack.
Ryan Lemon would drive
attack.
Up there.
437-9680. Let's take a break. Rick Bozich joins us next here on The Take on ESPN 680.